The question today is, what did the Holy Spirit do in our Lord's life? Now, as we think about the Holy Spirit, we sometimes want to separate them, and they are three different parts of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But as we look and see our Lord's life from the very beginning, as far as His earthly ministry was concerned, it was controlled, or it was worked by the Holy Spirit. First of all, what did He do in our Lord's life? There was His conception. Now, the angel, of course, came to and announced to Mary in Luke chapter 1, and that was Angel Gabriel, and that she was going to have a child. She said, "How can this be? I don't know a man. I've never had any relations with any man." And yet the angel told her, answered her in Luke, and by the way, she said she was a virgin. She wasn't just a young woman, as some virgins of the Bible try to place it today. There's a lot of difference between a young woman and a virgin. Today there's many young women, but they're not all virgins in the society in which we live today. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, though after she said, "How can this be?" the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." In other words, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're dealing with today. What did the Holy Spirit do in our Lord's life? Even His conception was by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." In other words, Joseph was ready to do what the custom of the day was. He was espoused to her. He'd not yet come together. There'd been no relationships with Joseph at that time. And as a result, according to the Old Testament time, they were considered husband and wife. And there was a right for a divorce at that period of time. If they found something unclean in her, of course, if she was caught, they would be stone her to death. But he was willing to put her away and not make a public example out of her. And so as a result, God spoke to him, sent an angel to speak to him, and told him that which she would conceive was not of man, not of him, not of another man. She had not been unfaithful, but it was conceived in her, was of the Holy Ghost. In other words, that's what the Holy Spirit did in the life of our Lord to begin with, His conception. But then whenever Jesus was 8 days old, they carried Him up to Jerusalem to present Him, as the custom was, at 8 days old. And therefore, then we find that the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon there at that time when his parents came to present Jesus. Luke 2, verse 25 through 32 said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." It means the Messiah. That's what the word Christ means in the English New Testament. It's equivalent to the Old Testament anointed one, or the one that the Jews were looking for, the Messiah. So he said the Holy Ghost had already showed him, revealed him to him, that he would not see death till he'd seen the Messiah, the Lord Christ. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So we see then, in the very beginning of our Lord's life, the Holy Spirit was involved. His conception, upon his prophecy of what he was to do, to be a light to the Gentiles by Simeon, but also at his baptism. Now, of course, we don't know a lot about his life, and we know at 12 years of age that he went up and talked to the people in Jerusalem, and no doubt there was help by the Holy Spirit at that time in that. We don't have that recorded per se, but we know everything he did was dealing by the Holy Spirit in his life. But at his baptism, the Spirit descended upon him. Now, all four of the Gospels record this in some form or fashion. The three first three, of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are synoptic. And then John was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing that you might have life. And so, therefore, all four of them present the baptism of Jesus in some form and the Spirit descending upon him. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it said, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting up on him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" For those who do not believe in the Trinity or the Godhead, the plurality of the Godhead, we find there's Jesus coming up out of the waters. He's being baptized, made fully wet, of course, in that water there in the Jordan. And then we see the Spirit lighting up on him like a dove. Now, folks, this dove is only a symbol of the Spirit. In fact, the people standing around did not see that. Only John the Baptist saw that, because that's what the Lord had told him, as we'll read in a moment in John chapter 1. And then when you see this, you'll know he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And so as a result, whenever the Spirit lit upon him like a dove. Now, I don't know all that meant, but it means that it wasn't a dove, but it's still, John saw that. So there we have the Spirit present, and there was a voice from heaven from the Father, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." So all three of the plurality of the Godhead, Trinity, if you please, is present. People deny it, but you can deny it all you want, but there it is. When they're just as God said, "Let us make man," there had to be a Trinity involved. And here we find that Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Mark recorded it this way in Mark chapter 1, his baptism I'm talking about. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John," that's John the Baptist, "in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending up on him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" Then Luke records it this way in Luke 3:22, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove, upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.'" And John recorded it this way. This is John the Beloved, as he records about John the Baptist. John 1:32-34, he said, "And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, stayed there. And I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now, John the Baptist, even though he was a cousin to Jesus and had been around Jesus when they were growing up, no doubt about that, because when Jesus came to be baptized by John, John said, "I must needs be baptized of you." And the reason for that, I believe, is because John had been around Jesus enough to know that he was different from most boys as he grew up. There was no sin in him. He didn't do anything wrong, never disrespected his parents, never did one thing wrong, never said one word wrong. In fact, John didn't know it, but Jesus never even had a bad thought. And yet, he said, "I must needs be baptized by you, Jesus." And he said, "No, to fulfill all righteousness, I must be baptized." And he said, "Suffer it to be so, allow it to be so." And so John baptized him. At that time, John had already been told, because he was a forerunner of the Christ. That's why God sent him, to be a forerunner of the Christ. And he said, "When you see him come, when you baptize him, this is what will happen. The Holy Spirit will descend upon him like a dove." And John said, "Whenever I saw that, I bear record that this is the Son of God." In other words, Jesus was the Son of God. So we see the Holy Spirit in our Lord's life is involved in his conception, involved in his dedication. When Simeon dedicated him there in Jerusalem, he was there present, at his descended upon him in his baptism. But he also then led him into temptation. Now, that's something we may not want to deal with or think about, but the Bible says this. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Mark chapter 1, verse 12 said, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Luke chapter 4, verse 1 said, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was tempted by the devil. Another for 40 days and 40 nights and three main temptations in the channels that he'd used on Eve. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He tempted him, but Jesus overcame every time by the, quoting in a sense, the Word. It was the Word of God that in which that was done. And so as a result of that, we find that Jesus was tempted, but he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. Well, he also, the Holy Spirit had involved on the Lord's life when he returned in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4:14 said, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about." Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19 said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And this is Jesus quoting Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Matthew records it this way, as he talked about him coming back, Matthew 12:18-20. "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory." Oh my, as I read that, I'm thankful the fact of the long-suffering of God, the goodness of God, and the forbearance of God. As he said, the Lord Jesus, "A bruised reed shall he not break." And we are a bruised reed. A bruised reed's not any good for a fishing pole. Throw it away. Break it up. Throw it down. It's no good. A smoking flax is a candle that's going out. It's gone. There's no more light left in it. And all that's left is a smoke. But he said he wouldn't even put out that. And that's your and I life. Your ears and eyes, our lives are like that. In other words, but he said he'll not quench that smoking flame. He's long-suffering and good. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him in his ministry, throughout his ministry. He returned in the power of the Spirit, and throughout his ministry, he had the power of God upon him. And everything that he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the question today is, and it's just the first part we'll deal with today, is what did the Holy Spirit do in our Lord's life? He enabled our Lord, in a sense, his conception, his dedication, his baptism, and his temptation, and then he returned in the power of the Spirit. Oh my, he was connected to our Lord and anointed with the Spirit and did everything he did by that power. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.